Hi, Lee. Good
Hello.
here.
Hello, darling. Oh, good. Sorry, it's right on lunchtime. You've got Anthony online. He's got the app open. He's got $198,000 in his Q Super and he's 35 years of age.
Yeah, what's that? I was on the email sent through already, is it?
Yep, it's gone through. Yep, Q Super, 35 years of age. Very nice man. He's on his lunch break, but he's happy to have a chat. Thanks, love.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Hi. Hi, Anthony. How are you?
Good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Thanks for asking. So you're over to Sue and we'll go through the research so that we can get this off to the advisors and get some results back for you sooner rather than later, which would be good. Yeah, cool. Just bear with me. You've got the app open at the moment.
Just 2 seconds. I'm just, back at work trying to turn the radio off.
What do you do for work?
Electrician for the government.
Oh, okay. Never had that one before.
So, yeah, traffic lights, cameras, all the stuff that goes.
Okay. Yeah, didn't even think of it actually.
All right, mate. So, open the app is open, and we are ready.
Perfect. Now, I'm just looking through to your text. Just let me know if it doesn't come through. This is an introduction to the financial company.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. So, Anthony, what they will look at for the breakdown, you can just tell me what you see first, and we'll walk through the rest. Is member number, account balance, investment options, insurance, and beneficiaries. What do you see first?
What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to click on that link?
Oh, no, that's just so that you can actually have that as a reference for yourself. So
oh,
you know
no
who
worries.
Actually, yeah. So in your app,
okay, all right.
So do you want me to repeat the things again for yourself? Or?
Yeah, as I said to the lady, I have the app set up just to view the balance. I have no idea anything else about the app at all or how
okay,
to navigate
all right.
It. But yeah, I'm more than happy to follow instructions.
Right. You're not alone there. Most people I speak to are exactly the same. At least you've got the app. That's one step ahead
of
a lot of people.
Probably 20 years to set the app up. And then as I said to the lady,
okay.
I don't know if that's good or bad because it sort of creates anxiety going, is that enough? Like now that I know the figure, is that enough?
Yeah, well, at least you're doing something about it, hey? There's no harm in seeing what options are available for you. Okay, so Anthony, can you see what the account balance estimates it is today then?
Yes, nearly 200 grand, 198, 483.
Any cents at all?
11 cents.
11, because I use that for projections. And it was Q-Super, wasn't it? Hasn't rolled into ART at all? Yeah, gone to ART. All right. So can you see your member number at all near there? Because I think it's on the same page.
Client ID?
Yep.
It would be 195.
Yes.
3677. Two, three.
Thank you. Now, is there an area there that you can see either investment options or statements or documents?
Now the app's gone all fucking weird. Half the stuff's missing.
There's all that
apps.
Cold, isn't it?
I'll just reload. Sorry. Quick login. There's a thing down the bottom where you can click. Oh, here we go. It's back. Got an allocation on the front in percentages, but only three of them. There's
okay.
Transactions, performance. If I click on accumulation, it says, oh, here we go. It says.
So have you made any changes to your investment options at all?
I haven't, mate, once my super was set up with my employment, I haven't touched it at all. All I've
no,
done is
and that's
rung up
very
and
common.
I'm getting to add a bit of extra super every pay. That's all I've really done.
Yeah, okay.
So it's got an
investment
mix. It's got high growth Australian shares
index
and international shares hedged index.
Okay, so that's what they
think by the looks.
Yeah, so high growth.
To it.
Okay, so that high growth, what's the percentage beside that one, Anthony?
49.14.
Yeah.
Percent.
And
that was the high growth. Australian shares was 24.55%.
24.55, yes.
Yep, and international shares hedged index is 26.31.
Hedged index, sorry, long word to write there. What was the percentage, sorry?
26.31.
Okay. And is there one more or is it just the three?
Just the three, all I can see.
Just the three. Yeah, that's
and
cool.
And then it
goes
into transactions, yeah.
Yeah, cool. So have you done this yourself or you just think that's what somebody did when you first started?
No, I don't remember having any choice at all in any of this. It was just set up and that
okay.
was it.
Yeah, right. And can you see any wordings like maybe aspire, focus, lifetime outlook? Anything like that at all?
No, go over to performance. No. Lifetime Outlook, I can click on that.
Pop yeah, up. Lifetime, is that what it says? Lifetime Outlook.
FY to date, 6.28%.
Yep.
Investment returns as of 31st of October this year, then it's got 10 years, 7 years, 5 years, 3 years, 1 year.
Yep.
Risk profile and fees, so risk is high, time frame is 7 plus years.
So those are performance things that just shows you sort of the returns it's had over the last 1 year, 5 year, 10 years. So
yep.
Lifetime outlook, and that's actually what the advisor will look at for you, okay?
No worries.
So next section is insurance. Do you have any insurance for death, total permanent disability or income protection inside your
system? Your cover is death cover. You don't currently hold this type of insurance. Permanent disability, you don't hold this type of insurance. Income protection, which I thought was standard with every super, you don't currently
don't
hold
have that either.
Type of insurance. So fucking nothing by the looks of it.
Oh, okay. Do you have any insurances externally that you pay for those three, or you've got no insurance at all?
Mate, I was always told that income protection is part of your super. You can easily access your super and do all that sort of stuff, but
yeah.
I've never checked it.
No, and it's very common, actually. I even had a guy not so long ago. He was actually sick, injured for 5 months, and he didn't even know he had income protection, so it's the complete opposite.
Well,
but it does pay
to
check.
I don't know whether I've cancelled that or not. I don't remember doing so, but I remember I
spoke
to the last lady about the fact that I was hit by a car. I had shoulder reconstruction, and when I applied for income protection, whether it was with my super or not, I was rejected because apparently the surgery was elective. Even though I was hit by a car and they had to put
my shoulder back. Oh my god.
Yeah, fucking unbelievable.
Yeah.
But not my face in super and all, because I even work for the government. I'm the first thing to tell you that's fucking useless. But just one of those generic ones, mate, where it's been set up and then just left to run its own board.
No, and look, it's very common that I do hear that. And a lot of people don't even know you can actually have insurances inside your super that you can pay for through your super. So, I mean, what's important for you when it comes to insurances then? Is it that you're protected
definitely,
or your family's protected?
Income protection. I work on the roads.
Yeah.
Last week we had two of our people hit by a car. So I'm worried about
seriously?
Being off work.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm worried about being off work. And then I did have a pretty decent leave account. But again, if you're injured, you shouldn't have to use your own leave.
100%,
It then comes down to how long you're off work for. So if it's more than a couple of months, I'd be up shit's creek. So
yeah, because income protection is going to have it.
Yeah, I would definitely have that as a minimum, just have some protection that if I can't work, I can at
least
get some form of money. Yeah.
And you can set it up so it's either 2 or 5 years it'd be on it for, and you can set it up so it's either 30, 60 or 90 days before you get any money, but that's something the advisor will look at. There's questions related to that shortly.
Yeah, I've always not been a fan of that because when you apply for that, you need it straight away and they never give it to you straight away. So you have this period of getting into more and more and more debt, which then how you're supposed to get out of that. But anyway, that's a different conversation for a different day.
Yeah. Well, that's why we do this review and research quite thoroughly, though, so that the advisor can actually give such positive, you're more accurate for you in their advice so that they actually look at everything together. So that's really, really good.
You don't find out what right when you need it, yeah.
Yeah. And TPD, total permanent disability, means that if you can't work ever again in your profession, they'd pay you a lump sum out that's meant to get you through sort of into your retirement years. But at the moment,
Does that come out of your super?
Yeah, so death can, TPD. No, that can come. You can do it either way, but yeah, it can come out of your super, 100%. Yeah, so they'll get, make a wee note of that for the advisors to review.
Can I just,
now, what about...
How is that different to then, because I've withdrawn super on compassionate leaves before. Well, how does that differ to just having an accident or not being able to work and then just going through that route? Because I would assume insurance would be a different ball of money. It's a bit concerning that it's your own money, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so you, obviously you've got your super amount, 198.
Yep.
And then, yeah, like I can make a wee note of that for the advisors to have a look at. So what's the difference between compassion?
Because I've helped my father withdraw a bunch of his for cancer treatments and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, I guess that's a question for those other people. It's just like if I'm hit by a car and I'm in a wheelchair, for example, and I can't work.
Yeah, you got to fix up your house so it's wheelchair friendly and all those sorts of things, isn't it? Yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
it's just always
the fact of
having to fight for what you want too, because like even workers comp's not the easiest thing to get either. My husband tried to do
that.
Tell me
about it. I spent 6 or 7 months with them, and I wouldn't recommend that to my worst enemy.
No.
But
that's
horrible.
Okay.
So yeah, I'd like to avoid work cover.
Now, have you got anybody set up for beneficiaries at all, Anthony?
No. Not that I'm aware of, I doubt it.
Can you just double check? Because I have had people say that, and then there are people mentioned, or vice versa.
Yeah,
so there should there's two ways. There should be a section on the menu showing beneficiaries, or in your menu you should have documents or statements. It'll be on that.
Statements, proof of important information.
Yep, so statements.
Right down the bottom.
Yep, right down the bottom.
Can you set it up so your dog gets everything? I got to log in. Well, that's, again, I haven't logged in since I first created this app 10 years ago. So I wouldn't even know what my username is.
So how are you looking at your investments and stuff? Does it show you that before? Oh, if you click on the link to go through to beneficiaries, is that what you're saying?
Well, you click on the app, it uses facial identification and you just log in. There's no actual password.
Oh. That's scary, doesn't it?
Just a quick look at my emails. Do super.
Is there statements at all in the menu?
Let me have a look. Sorry, mate. Back to the
Right.
Performance transactions.
No, you want statements or documents. It just means it'll be your financial statement.
View performance, income, view performance, insurance. Doesn't look like it.
So you've never added anybody. Oh, there we go. You might need to log in again, though. So the last financial year. Yeah.
Past statements. So I just click on the 30th of June, 2025.
Yes. Yep.
That's the most recent.
You're onto it.
Downloading statement.
Yeah, look at that.
We're getting fucking lessons on the app. That's awesome. Here we go. Now we're cooking.
I'm here every day.
Active balance. preservation age 60. Fucking hell. Okay, what are we looking for in here?
Beneficiaries. You either see somebody nominated or you can add a beneficiary. Often they're near the end of it, to be fair.
There's 10 pages. That I was going to say nothing, but there's 10 pages. Q investment report, BPAY, your benefits and insurance.
No.
Your super transactions. Let's go down. Where are you heading? It's saying I need $1.2 million to retire. That's never going to happen. That's a fucking joke. I can't see anything at all, mate. So I would have to assume that there's nothing.
I know. Okay, that's fine.
I'd almost bet money there's nothing, mate. Yeah.
Yeah. Would you want somebody to be your beneficiary? I don't think you can do a dog.
Yeah, I'd
but...
probably set it up as my... Nephew?
Nephew, yeah.
Can do, or do they have to be of legal age?
Look, I'll put a note down there. I'm not sure because I'm not an advisor, but I can put nephew, and you can set them up either binding or non-binding, which binding's legally enforceable. Trustee must pay it. It's faster.
Yeah,
the other
just because if push does come to shove, I'd much rather them get my money directly rather than my brother having to handle it all, I guess. But yeah. I'll set that up, I guess, when the time comes. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's cool. And for your preservation age, which is 60, what's your date of birth?
21st of the 2nd, 1990.
1990, okay, thank you. So that's, Anthony, on the fund itself, everybody sets it up differently. What is your name on there? Is it A-N-T-H-O-N-Y?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, and what was your surname on there?
Markham, M-A-R-K-H-A-F.
Yeah, and there's no middle name or middle initial because every fund's different.
I do have a middle name. I probably...
It normally will be on your account details part or on the statement. I'll probably have what you've...
It's got my first and last name, that's all.
Okay, so it's probably that then. Cool. All right.
Hold up, sorry. It's got 17 Gadgarra Close, Cairns, but then it's got the suburb Morningside, which is in Brisbane. So that's fucking... I've got to get that fixed as well.
What's on your licence?
Cairns. I've just moved back from Cairns from Brisbane, but they've obviously got this mixed up because you can't have Morningside in Cairns. Yeah, I have to get that fixed up just in my own details.
Yeah, that's cool. So what for compliance, we do need to prove you're a resident anyway. So what would be your street address now?
17 Gadgarra Close, Edmonton.
Can you spell the street name for me, please?
It's a shit one. G-A-D-G-A-R-R-A.
And was it Close?
Close, yes. Edmonton, 48.
Edmonton.
Yep.
So you've gone back up to Cairns, did you say?
Yes.
Yeah, nice. What's it like there? It's hot and humid today up there, is it?
Shit, horrible. I've just moved back because my father has prostate cancer, so it's a bit of a...
Yeah.
I was enjoying Brisbane, but it's a lot hotter up here.
Yeah, nice. And, Anthony, just a couple of little bits of housekeeping. Your number is the best number that ends in 93, is that correct?
393, yes, that's my mobile. That's pretty much my only means of contact. Email, but I don't check it, so...
Oh, there it is. What would be your best email if we didn't have to send something? Because I do actually send something with for you.
My horrible high school email, lovely aunt. So LOVERLYANT
at
hotmail.com.
Hotmail.com, thank you.
That's spelt in high school, apparently.
Sorry, what did you say?
That's how I spelt in high school, apparently, because it's spelt wrong. Love early.
You're funny. You're funny. No, I did ask this, but I'll be honest, I was having a bit of a blonde moment. Your Edmonton address now, is that what's on your driver's license, or is it the Brisbane address?
It's on there. They update them nowadays, it's just a sticker. Yes, I did. Yeah, it was
handy.
Written on the back of your license, but when you go and update it, they don't give you a new one. They just give you a sticker in the mail that goes on the back of it. So.
Oh, too funny. And super's actually tax deductible by law as well, Anthony. Do you know your tax file number? And we also require it for anti-money laundering laws.
I wish I was money laundering. I'd have fucking more money. I can grab it, mate, in 2 seconds. And no,
I didn't
know it was deductible because I've been paying extra tax for a while now, extra on top of my employer.
Oh, okay.
Where the fuck am I? Important information. Here we go. Tax file number is 361.
Mm-hmm.
081.
Mm-hmm.
872.
You're all over it. Thank you. All right. So you yourself, are you married, de facto, single, in a relationship?
Single.
Yeah, that's fine. And do you have any children at all?
No.
That's an easy. I taught for 13 years. That was enough.
Nice.
Now, you said you're an electrician. Would that be what your title is as well?
Technically signal electrician, but it's electrician just for the government, for the Queensland government.
How long have you been working for them for?
Probably 10 years.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, so it's allowed me to transfer to Brisbane and then transfer back all at the same rate. So, yeah, it's pretty lucky.
That's good, isn't it? Yeah, that's great. So that's full-time position, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Yeah, cool. So day-to-day roles and responsibilities, what do you do in your role? So you're obviously doing work on, what do you say, roads?
Yeah, road tech, so any government asset. So traffic lights, cameras, electronic signs, anything that the government owns that's on the road.
Yeah,
wow. Mainly the main thing is traffic signals and cameras.
So you know where all the cameras are then, hey?
Oh, I do, yes.
That's a good thing to have.
Well, my brother borrowed my car on the weekend and told me a fib about it. And then I said, well, this is where you went because my rego in the system sends me a message.
Oh,
so I know you went to the airport at this date and I know you did this and you did that. And
wow.
He's like, oh, you should have told me. And I was like, oh, I'm very resourceful.
Is that because you can program your license plate into it, or is that for everybody?
I can. No, I can, and I've just got AI working for me. So every time my car goes through a camera or anything like that, it gives me a notification. Just because Cairns has so many stolen vehicles, I've even installed like an electronic immobiliser. So when you get in the car, you've got to enter a certain code before you even turn it on. But
that
I'm just very tech savvy.
I just build
computers. I'm just very tech, bit of a nerd, bit of tech savvy. So I called him out. It felt really good because it's like,
I caught you out. Actually, we're talking about that car immobiliser. Years ago back in New Zealand, my husband worked for a car dealer, and because people finance their cars, one company actually enforced that they had an immobiliser added to the car. So if they hadn't paid their loan, they'd come and get it so they couldn't drive anywhere. And it makes sense. Why should you, anyway, another whole topic. Do you do any paperwork or anything like that for your role, or is it all out on the road, so to speak?
I do more paperwork than actual work.
Oh, do you? That doesn't sound like
fun. For example, if I go and change a light bulb somewhere, I then have to do like 30 minutes of paperwork to prove that I did it. You got to take photos before and after.
Oh, my God.
Very, very paperwork heavy. Yeah.
I suppose it's proving and covering your ass or something.
That's pretty much all it is.
Now, so what would your split be then of in the field versus that paperwork? Would it, like office-based work, would it be?
That's really hard to answer because every single question I do, I have to do paperwork. I am a field-based worker. I do all my paperwork in the field on a laptop.
Oh, okay.
So it would be like, fuck, I've never had to answer that. Either 60,
would it be 50-50? 60-40 on the tools?
Well, I am on the tools. That's what I mean. Every job has paperwork attached to it, so I'm.
Yeah. Okay. I'll put that down. Yeah. No, that makes sense. And how long did you say 10 years have been working for them, doing that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Now, any hazardous materials that you're working with, or heights over 12 meters?
I do work in a bucket truck, so we do go up to lights. They are 12 meters is the highest light, so we don't go over 12 meters, but. I do work at heights from when I have to change lights up high in a bucket truck with a EWP. Hazardous materials? No, not really.
No. Okay. Vehicles.
Just normal stuff like other people. WD-40 and, random stuff.
Yeah, okay. And working at the heights of the bucket truck, did you have to have any qualifications for that at all, or...?
Yes, I have a EWP license. I also have a working at height license. I also have a high-risk license as well. So I also have an EWP rescue license. So there's about 4 or 5 licenses just before you can do it.
Oh, wow. So I've got EWP license, high-risk license, EWP rescue license. What was the other one?
Working at height.
Working at height. That's what it was, yeah.
I think that's pretty much covers it, yeah.
Yeah, and for your Sparky role then...
Yep.
I was going to say, you must have a qualification for that, do you?
I have electrical ticket, yes.
Electrical ticket. Yeah, maybe there's something called that you had to have. And one brain.
We then even have a VOC. So once you get your license, you then have to prove you're competent by showing someone that has the license as well. You have to show them you can do it. So we have like an internal license as well, like a VOC, verification of competence.
Yeah.
You got to have a license to wipe your bum around here, pretty much.
Mind you, there are some people who you wouldn't really want doing the job because they really shouldn't be on the...
Yes, we do have quite a few. I call them window lickers, yes.
So it was an internal... Was it a VOP, did you say?
VOC. So it's just like a government. You just got to prove you can do it. So it's just all arse covering, really.
Yeah.
Even though you've just gone and got a license, they need to then prove... that you know how to use the license, I guess. So, very efficient.
Yeah, no, government roles like that. I'm an expert.
That's it.
I know what they're like.
That's it.
Yeah, and they just keep going over the same stuff every year as well. Don't solve anything.
It is unreal.
And Anthony, do you have any other occupations that you draw an income from at all?
Sorry, repeat that?
Do you have any other occupations or jobs that you draw an income from?
No, I've done this since school, so no, it's my only job.
Yeah, that's cool.
Besides the love jobs where you don't get paid for, that's about it.
Yeah. So what would your gross income be per annum then, so before tax?
Hit and miss. It's all based on overtime, but it would be between 90 and 100 on average.
On average. Okay. Now, what age... Oh, sorry, do they contribute the 12% towards your super, or is it more than government? That's a standard.
So I'm not sure. Whatever they do is standard, I then do extra.
So you do salary sacrificing, or do you contribute after tax? Salary sacrificing?
I believe salary sacrifice, but as I said to the last lady, all this stuff was set up, you know, 6, 7, 10 years ago. So it's a bit hard to remember that sort of shit. But if I go on the app and go to the transactions, would it tell me the percentage?
I don't know, actually. Most people know because it's in their contract, so they would remember it more.
Salary sacrifice, voluntary contribution.
Yeah, what did you pay for the year?
Percentage.
What's the figure that you paid?
This is weird. Admission. So that was, it's just got a random date. So that's...
Oh, it doesn't have a figure. Do you know what comes out of your pay each week?
Oh, I should fucking know. I can just try to bring up a pay docket if you want.
Yeah, it should be on there. Yeah, it should be.
Problem is going through 1,000 fucking emails.
Use a wee magnifying glass in your search thing and see if just put payslip.
Yeah, it's not that easy.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You search pay, you I can't remember who it's from. Yes. Oh, my life. Let's have a quick look, sorry. Because it was probably 2 weeks ago I was fucking paid. Oh, I've got fucking 2,100 emails, mate, so my emails just get smashed every day.
That down, you downloaded the statement before. It might be on there.
Let's have a look. I can go back to that. QSuper, that was more statements. Beneficiary statement, bullshit. Your investment report, QSuper report.
That being contributions, probably.
Your super transactions.
Yeah, maybe look at that one.
Account transactions. Yeah, but it's all dollar figures. There's no percentages.
No, even a dollar figure would be fine for salary sacrifice. I can work it out that way.
Gross amount, tax deducted, net amount. And it's for each fortnight. All right. Yep. Well, it looks all, it's all different figures too, but it's around the $330 range. So $339. $333, $336, $339, $340. So it maxes out at $340, but it's all like 300. It's all randomly around the 300-ish to 330 to 340 range.
And that's
that
a
was gross
month,
amount.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a month. So each one's got a date that's 2 weeks apart. So I think each one of them is
sort of
a pay cycle. Yeah, a fortnightly pay cycle.
Yeah, okay. And can you see anywhere on that statement contributions, or is that where you're looking?
It's got salary sacrifice, voluntary contributions.
Yeah, what's the figure beside that?
That's what I've been talking about.
I beg your pardon. Okay, it varies. Okay.
A whole bunch of dates from March to July, and they seem to be 2 weeks apart. For example, 12th of November, 29th of October, 15th of October, 1st of October. So that seems to be 14 days in between.
Yes, I see.
So
and they haven't got it.
For the most recent one, 4th of March, $338 gross, tax deducted. Mm-hmm. So they always take out about $50, so about $280 net.
Yeah.
So it's about $280, $290 net across every single month.
$280, average daily net. Okay. So it's on average about 330. Yeah. It depends on how much you're earning, obviously. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Because some people, and it doesn't have anywhere there what the salary sacrifice for the whole year was, because sometimes they do put that down there.
It gives a proper breakdown, which in this case is making it worse.
Oh, okay. I don't want to make it worse. So it's either 340 or 338 a fortnight.
Around, it obviously changes because each fortnight, based on overtime, my income changes.
Yeah, sure.
Ever so slightly.
And you're thinking it's a 12% for the super guarantee from your employer?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, that's cool. Now, just an idea, Anthony, what age would you like to start accessing your super or retiring?
Tomorrow?
Retirement age.
Yesterday?
I know, right? Hey, I'm older than you. I don't want to be tomorrow, I tell you. You can either look at 67 or 65, and they run the projections to that age. Some people put the 60 down and you can see what that looks like. It's up to you.
I don't know any tradie that can work till 60 and not completely fuck themselves, so I think it's a load of bullshit. A different story for a different day, but I guess I'd go the earliest age possible, I guess, technically.
So you can access it at, you can access it at 60 if you can have got enough money. So, yeah, so I can put that down for you. That's no problem.
Is that the earliest I can get it is 60? That should be a crime, man.
Super. So sorry to tell you, that's 25 years, but we'll say that fast. You won't hear it.
Fuck my life.
Oh, dear me. I would say, you know, someday that adult has been an adult, but overrated, isn't it? now, what would a rough idea for your expenditure be per week, Anthony? So things like rental, mortgage, you know, utility bills, food, car, petrol, all those sorts of things, phones. What might that look like for yourself, roughly?
Fucking no idea, mate. I hate those questions. Rent 300 a week. Fuel, you'd allocate 100 a week. Food, and maybe another 100 a week. Or maybe more, 150 a week. That's kind of really it. I try not to spend any money because I never have any money to spend.
Yeah, okay. And then things like, you don't pay water when you're renting, do you? Or do you?
No,
okay. And would you have things like power as well? Maybe a little bit added on to that?
Yeah, you divide that up for the three quarterly, I guess. So how to make that per week, I've got no idea because the power bill is always different as well.
Yeah. So at the moment...
I'd probably allow 50 a week for power, at least.
I was going to say, so you're up to around about 600, and then if you did sort of incidental things, would it be more around the sort of 700 mark, do you think?
Yeah, just over, assume, just to, that seems fairly accurate.
Yep. And are you able to save each week as well, Anthony?
Nope. I'm living fortnight to fortnight.
Yep. Most people I speak with sadly are too. Now, let's look at your retirement. You've put the tools down. You don't have to set the alarm clock. Use today's figures as an idea, but what would you ideally like to live off as an income when you retire? So would it be similar sort of amount to you've got now? More? Less?
It would have to be, otherwise I'd be going backwards, so...
Yeah, about 700.
Stay the same. Yeah, I know a guy down south, an old fella retired, and he sort of told us later on at the pub that, his income hasn't changed. So whatever his fortnightly income was, let's just say it's $2,000 a fortnight. He was getting that. He was getting that. So it's like nothing's changed except he just doesn't go to work. But he was driving around in a brand new Land Cruiser with a brand new fucking boat with a brand new caravan. So I think he was fairly well off.
He's done well then, hey?
Just one of those. Yeah.
Yeah, well, the thing is, to be honest, it's really refreshing to see people looking at their futures and looking at supers and things because you've got your biggest asset on your hands, which is time. So I'm in my 50s. I don't have that. Unless I carry on working forever, I'm sort of getting to that pointy end of my working life, whereas you've got time on your hands. And that really does make a difference for super because of compounding interest. So,
I've been hit by a car, so I've got multiple injuries I've got to deal with daily. So
Okay.
I don't know how I'm going to get to 60, mate. It's unbelievable. But anyway, that's a different story. But
change professions.
I don't know what else I'm going to do. But
too funny. Now,
it's all about perception. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Anthony, the advisor looks at debts and assets as well because it's two things. One is to review those insurances so that you've got some options. And then secondly, also, it's more of a holistic look at your future as well. So the advisor can sort of see where you're sitting financially now and where you want to get to. So you mentioned you're renting. Do you own a... Hey?
Well, sorry, I was about to say, yeah, I'm in a really shitty financial situation. I'd be pretty honest about it.
That's all right. We hear all sorts of different scenarios, so no, absolutely no judgment here. Do you have any things like property, shares, crypto,
nope,
savings, any vehicles over $10,000 value? No, that's okay. Any
80,000 dollar Hilux, but that's just financed.
80,000. Is there 80,000 on it, or how much would I earn on it?
I don't know how much is owing on it, but if I crashed it tomorrow, that's how much I'd get as a payout.
Yeah, okay. And did you take it? How long did you have you had the loan for?
I've had it for at least a couple of years, and I believe when I set the loan up, I probably would have gone the longest time possible to make the payment cheaper. I'd probably say 7 if I was to bet on it, yeah.
7 years? Yeah, okay, so you're almost halfway through coming up. So you'd hope to think that maybe you'd have paid a quarter of it off, what do you think?
I'd like to hope so. I don't know the actual figure, sorry. I was even considering selling it soon to just not have that come out of my bank, that constant every week, that loan repayment.
Yeah. What do you pay each week?
I think I pay $350 a fortnight.
Fortnight? Okay. All right. And do you have any other loans, like personal loans, any credit cards, anything like that at all?
Probably just my credit card.
Yeah, what's the limit on that if you had a good spending spree?
I could check right now.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't fucking much, $4,000 or $5,000 maybe.
Yeah.
I'm trying to pay most of it off, yeah. Fuck, where are we? Available. They're like $5,000, I think.
$5,000. And how much do you owe on the at the moment? Yeah, yeah.
It has 3.5 on it.
3.5. That's cool. All right. So what the advisor will look at for those insurances is like what debt level you've got at the moment. And, you know, they'll just offer some advice if you open to that recommendation for you, especially for your income protection,
yeah,
I suppose. Yeah. So these questions relate to that. So are you a smoker or a vapor?
No.
No, that's fine. And then what would your height in centimetres be in weight in kgs approximately?
It would be 6'3", which is 192 centimetres, I think, and I'm about 100 kilos.
And 100 kilos? Okay.
Yeah.
And hang on, my screen's just frozen. Just bear with me a second. Have you got any health diagnoses that you're managing? You did say that you've got a few things, like it might be physical, mental, something's broken.
I've got some injuries, yes. I was hit by a car going home from work on a motorbike, and it was a pretty lengthy, shitty work cover claim. But yes, I do have I've had a left shoulder reconstruction, and I do have a bulging disc in my lower back.
So you still got the bulging disc?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And how long ago was the accident, Anthony?
2019, I think, something like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. And with the shoulder reconstruction, that was the same year?
Maybe a year or so afterwards, because it had to go through
recovery
and all that.
Yeah, okay. And did that solve your issue for your injury for your shoulder? Or is it still ongoing? No. So
the surgeon said 100%. He has no idea, and he'd like to operate again to make sure. So,
oh, and you're like, no, thank you.
No.
Do you think you'll have to have that done?
Well, I got no idea, but the first surgery didn't work, and it probably made things worse, so I'm not really keen to run back to a surgeon who has no idea what he's talking about, or, like, work cover was one of the most horrible experiences I've ever encountered, to be honest.
Yeah, wow. Okay, so...
I can understand why the head office is all boarded up with bulletproof windows and bollards, and I can understand why.
Seriously? Oh, my God.
It's horrible.
Yeah, we didn't have a good experience with them. But anyway, now apart from the bulging disc and the shoulder issue, what else, if anything, that do you suffer from or have diagnosed?
That's all that's been diagnosed.
That's right.
Probably too much stress, I guess, but that's not diagnosed. Yeah, mainly the medical, the injuries from the bike crash.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you take any medications at all at the moment, prescribed by a doctor?
Not unless I'm sick or anti-inflammatory or anything like that. More maintenance.
So nothing
sort of
that's
stuff.
Regular. Yeah, okay.
Nah, not really.
And Did you have to see a physio or chiropractor for your injuries?
Yes, for years.
Physio, yeah. Are you doing that physio still currently?
No, because I can't afford to go to it all the time. It's too much money.
I know. Scary, isn't it?
Yeah, well,
I
really dropped the ball.
So physio, it goes back to that 2019, 2020 sort of era?
Yeah.
Yeah, so for the back and the shoulder. All right. Now, have you ever been on a mental health plan or seen a counsellor?
I have had a mental health plan to get access to cheaper, like a shrink appointment, like, that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That stuff. Too expensive. So I think many years ago I went and got a mental health plan, but since then probably well overdue.
And did you see a counsellor as well at the same time?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. How long ago was that roughly?
Fuck. 5 years, maybe 4 or 5 years.
4 or 5 years ago? Yep, that's okay. Yep. And was it for anything in particular, like some people talk about stress, trauma, grief, relationships?
Came home from my fly-in, fly-out job to my partner with somebody else in my $13,000 bed. It's very common with minors, I feel, because you're just not there.
Yeah, because you're away, yeah. That wasn't it.
And the old come home a week early for the anniversary and then, it wasn't expecting you. Like, that's usually how a surprise goes, yeah. So
a
bit burnt there, but that's just life, unfortunately.
You got some help, though, so that's the main thing. You don't sort of swallow it.
Yeah, I went and spoke to someone, and surprisingly, I used to think it was a load of shit, but then I went and did it, and I was like, this mental health stuff, I like
it's not so bad.
Most men don't worry about it, and it's...
No, 100%. No. And my husband actually just did a bike ride in June, July from Darwin through to the Gold Coast, biking on his mountain bike and raising money for mental health, especially for men.
Yeah,
he's in the trade industry, and it's the men don't speak up. They just hide away.
I'm one of those stereotypical ones. I can admit it. You only go to the doctor if your leg's sore when it's about to fall off.
Yes, 100%.
You're supposed to go as soon as you notice something, but yeah.
Yeah, hopefully it's changing, that's for sure. You want to click on that because you don't have it. Now, Anthony, do you know how much sick leave or annual leave you might have owing to you at the moment? Because it does affect the income protection waiting
less
period.
Less than 10 hours sick leave, so I got fuck all leave.
Yeah, and what about annual leave? Not sure.
Maybe 30 hours if I'm lucky.
30 hours, okay. And do you have a will in place at all? A will.
No.
Like a last will and testament. No? Is it something you've ever thought about doing?
Yes. Now that I've got a niece and a nephew, I just haven't. Even when I was talking to the other lady about a beneficiary, I haven't got one set up. I would like to set them up at least, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, okay. And have you been bankrupt or insolvent in the last 5 years?
No.
No, that's perfectly fine. No, that's okay. Now, just a couple of questions about your goals and objectives so the advisor can see where you want to get to. In the next 12 months, what would you like to achieve either financially or, be able to do or buy or travel, whatever? What would you like to achieve?
Well, not very. I guess it turns down to achievable goals, maybe the 12 months. Mm-hmm. Not live week to week. Have money for a holiday, regardless of how small it is.
Yeah.
I think that's really about it, to be honest. I'd be fucking stoked with that.
So a small holiday, what would it be like? Just a local getaway, something like that? A couple of $100 or a couple of thousand? What do you equate to small?
To go overseas, you'd need a couple of thousand minimum. But even Bali would be a goal just because of how cheap it is. But, yeah, even that's sort of out of my reach.
Yeah, okay. So would that be sort of a different one to five years travel over to like Japan and Bali in the definite 5 years
timeframe?
Yeah,
that would be... Yep. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And living not week to week, so does that mean that you've got the excess money you can save as well?
Yeah, that's pretty much how you get your holiday and everything else, is you have the ability to save money.
Yeah.
And then that compounds, and then all of a sudden you go, I can actually
there we go.
I can do something.
And at the end of 12 months, what would a figure be that you'd like to see in your bank and you'd go, you know what, I did good there? Would it be 2 grand, 5 grand, 10 grand?
Oh, I would be fucking stoked at 5 grand. I'd be absolutely stoked. And that's not even that much. Yeah.
And then in the next 1 to 5 years, what would that look like for you? What would you like to achieve in that situation? We've put down travel to Japan and Bali. What else would you like? Would you like to continue the saving side of things, pay off that debt?
Well, I'd like to pay off my car because I'm considering at the point of selling it to not have the debt anymore, but just to be financially not so restricted, yeah, by my work, having to work because I've, yeah, it's hard when you've got injuries because you need time away. You need to relax, I guess.
Yeah.
You need to have money for that, and then you need to have the leave to be able to get paid while you're away. Unless
yeah.
That comes down to if you've got enough save, that doesn't matter. But that always helps when you get a paycheck while you're holidaying, I guess.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, and then get the car loan paid off. What about the credit cards? Something that you'd like to sort of focus
that's
on, get rid of them as well?
I've got to get all that done before I even do the holiday and the savings. So I've got a few things going away there.
Yeah, that's fine. Now, look forward to your retirement. You've actually hung up the tools. You don't need to go to work. What would your ideal retirement look like for yourself, Anthony? What would you like to be doing, have? Might be simple, might be complicated.
Well, I don't think I'll be jet-setting around the world, but just be able to live comfortably, I guess.
Yep. And what does that mean to you?
Oh, well, it's depressing talking about it because it's not going to happen. Owning your house, not paying anything off. Owning your car, not paying anything off. Living, not struggling and eating rations.
Yeah.
Not struggling for the power bill.
Yeah.
Comfortably living within your means as well. That would be not an obvious thing.
Yeah. Okay. I'll put all that down for you. Now, what's important to you when it comes to your superannuation, Anthony? Is it the growth of it, protection, maybe low cost, somebody looking after
both.
It for you?
Yeah, probably
growth
both.
And protection.
No point having
yep.
a large amount of growth if you then lose it.
Yeah.
So probably both.
Yeah, that's fine. And what about those insurances? We talked about the income protection because you're worried about being off work. So you're open to recommendations, obviously.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, yeah, cool. And have you ever worked with a financial advisor?
I probably should, to be honest. That's been on my thought to-do list for a little while now because I'm not doing very well. And my argument is that you have to fucking pay someone to get help, but sort of a means to an end, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, it's the expert in the field. If I needed help with that traditional, you know, technical work like you do, I'd be not trying to do it myself. I'd be asking for some help.
Yeah, I sort of know the answer already, but to have it to come from someone of that calibre would hopefully make a difference.
Yeah, sweet. Now, and that's actually what the advisors do. That's why we look at more holistic. There's a lot of things that the advisors can help people with, like how to save up for a mortgage, how to pay that off faster, how do I retire from my retirement so that I plan for that to become in a strong position, because you know you work hard, you want your super to be working even harder in the background, don't you, really?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So the last 7 questions, Anthony, nice and easy, because I actually give you the answers, so it's like a multi-choice.
Oh, my favourite.
Yep. Yeah, I know, right? It's a risk profile, so it gives the advisor a chance to see what sort of investor you are, and there's no right or wrong answer. It's purely as you feel, and if you've got any questions as I go through it, just please do sing out, okay? So the first how would you describe your general understanding of the financial markets? Firstly, I'm experienced with all investment classes and understand the various factors that influence performance. Second, I understand that markets fluctuate up and down in value based on current events, so things happening around the world, and also share performance. The third is I have an average understanding, enough to know not to put all my eggs in one basket.
Probably the middle one. I understand it's like a boat. It goes up and down, hence COVID. I think I lost 20 grand out of it. And then, yeah, so it's based on what's going around in the world.
Yes. Yeah.
But
and most
someone
people
else
are
doing it for me. Yeah,
yeah,
I'm just aware that it can go up and down. And
yeah.
You just hear it work. Like, someone comes in and goes, I mean, if Super's lost 50 grand, you go, oh, I probably should get mine.
Yeah, and like with most people, they dropped about 25% at COVID, but most people did nothing with it either. They didn't even look. So,
well, that's
So it's likely for the second question that most of your super is currently invested on the financial market. So how do the fluctuations in your balance make you feel? Firstly, very comfortable with the fluctuations. You're happy to ride the financial wave. Second, quite comfortable. You never really make changes and you let it do its thing. Or the third one is quite uncomfortable. You're always making changes to improve and protect it.
The answer doesn't really line up with what I'm thinking, because I'd say very uncomfortable because of the movement, but mainly because I don't have control over it. It's somebody else doing it. But
yeah,
I don't make any changes, you know what I mean? I don't actively go in and change anything.
Yes.
Because I unfortunately trust that they're doing the proper job, but just that level of being uncomfortable because it's out of your control. You could log in one day and have $300,000, and you could log in the next day and have $100,000. You're like, what the fuck?
So yeah.
Hit and miss, yeah.
And your sleep is we call it a passive investment style or sleeper, because you're actually in control of it yourself. They're not. They're just administrators. They just sit in their office and push paper around. So that's a scary thing. So I can put that down, very uncomfortable. That's fine. And in respect to your superannuation, what investment style would you be the most comfortable with? Firstly, potential of very high returns, but with fluctuations being higher of 8% plus. Or the second one, potential of good returns, but with fluctuations ranging from 5 to 8%.
Probably the second one, maybe.
Yep, a little bit safer. And then which superannuation investment portfolio would currently suit you best? Is it predominantly growth, so your super's grown as much as possible, hopefully? Or second, more growth in income. So there's still some growth, but income's a little bit more conservative. So would you prefer predominantly growth or more growth in income?
Well, see, to me, I thought it was the same thing. Your income increases by it growing, but I obviously don't know that much about it.
The income's a little bit more conservative, so it's a bit safer, that's all. Predominantly growth is, your money's growing hopefully as much as possible, really.
Yeah, I don't know how to answer that one, sorry. Can I possibly, get you to word that one, or just say it again, sorry?
Explain it? Yeah, sure. So which superannuation investment portfolio would currently suit you best? Is it predominantly growth, so it's growing? Or the second one, more growth than income. So the income is the safest aspect. I like that to cash in the bank, so it's more conservative. So if you're wanting safer options, that would be where you're sort of be sitting. Or is predominantly growth, this means I'm happy for it to grow over time.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That's really tricky.
Are you would you take greater risks, or are you a little bit safer?
Well, I do. You got to get the risk for the biscuit, so to speak. Like, the higher risk, you can come with higher rewards, but then...
Yeah, which is that, pretty much? High risk, high reward, pretty much.
I would just... Yeah, I don't know, mate. I would probably prefer it to be more safely growing than rapidly growing.
Yep, so that would be the second one then. That's fine. Yep.
Sorry, this alarm. Fucking be on. Shut up. Stop.
Oh, you make me laugh. The next question is, how much could your portfolio balance drop before you start to feel uncomfortable? Is it firstly 10%, second 25%, and the last one is 50% drop?
10%.
Yep. And then if you did see a significant in your portfolio balance due to adverse market conditions, what would your reaction be? Firstly, I would invest more money to take advantage of the lower share price expecting future growth. The second one is, I would leave my investments in place and wait for performance to improve, like a lot of people did at COVID. Or the last one is, I'd seek advice from a financial advisor.
Probably the second one, maybe. The last one.
Did you get advice? Yep, that's fine.
I'd get advice, yeah.
Yeah. And then which of the following investments have you ever invested in? Have you ever had direct shares or an investment property at any stage?
No.
No, that's perfectly fine. Okay, Anthony, so that's all the hard, tedious part out of the way. So well done. You don't have to do that again. Thank goodness, he says. That's the hard part of the whole review, to be honest. Now, just to finish off, I just want to recap quickly, go through the next steps and then book you in for your results. But before I do, did anything stand out to you from what we've gone through, actually, in that research?
Not really.
No? Maybe insurances that you thought you had?
Yeah, I knew I didn't have much, but it's good to actually now know my way around the app a little bit better. But
yeah,
I don't know, mate. I've always said it's probably even anxious now that you get to know. I don't know what's worse, not knowing the figure or knowing it, not knowing it was enough.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But no, not really, mate. It's been a bit of a journey for me, which has been good.
Nice. And also, Anthony, it sounds like to me, to be honest, that while you're still young, you just want to maximise your returns and have it set up correctly in the background. to be able to reap the rewards later in life and be comfortable in your retirement, yeah? And ideally, if you could, retire early.
without somebody losing it, yeah.
Yeah. So look, when the results come back, there'll be two projections for you. The first will show you what you're on track for at retirement age with your existing setup. And the second projection will show you how much better off you could be with the advisor's recommendations. Now, the good news is being licensed financial advisors, they operate under a law called best interest duty. Now, what that actually means, Anthony, is legally they can only bring somebody on board as a client if the advice is in that person's best interest and puts them in a much better position. Yep. And the other thing that's really good is the advisors don't work for any one super fund. And why that's actually really good to know is there's no conflict of interest there. They just need to find whatever's going to be best for you, okay? What's the best for Anthony? Yep. Now, with that
they're
being said, is there
paid.
Any reason...
They're still getting paid from it, right? They're still getting a fee, they're still getting paid, right?
Yeah, and I'll go through that with you in a second. Yeah, but at the end of the day...
That's really why they're doing it, is to get, you know,
it's a win-win for everybody then. Yeah, it's a win-win for everybody, but they don't get paid by the super anything, mortgage broker.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so with that being said, is there any reason you need to stay with QSuper, or are you happy for the advisors to look at all options outside as well?
Look at all options, but I had that decision when I went from, I believe it was Sun Super beforehand.
Yes.
I was told that being a government employee that this was the best option to take, and every other employee that I work with had said that they weighed it all up and it was, you know, QSuper was way better. But again, that's word of mouth. I didn't actually go and do the fucking shit myself. I just went and went, all right, well, I'm with the government now, and that's just what you do.
Yeah. And look, there's no harm in seeing what options are available to you, is there, either? So, as you say, if you don't look, you don't know. Yeah, 100%.
There's a
slight delay on the phone. Look, the best part is if they can help and you're happy with the advice, Anthony, fees are actually taken care of from the super, and I'm sure Lee mentioned that to you. So there's no out-of-pocket expense. And the reason for that is... Yeah, and the reason for that is the government would prefer you to use money now so you can't that you can't touch, so you can actually make more money and then not have to rely on the government in your retirement and potentially be a self-funded retiree as well, all right? So, lovely. So it sounds like you're out and about, so I'll assume that you don't have pen and paper handy, because I do like to get people to write this down if they can.
Just at work, mate, but I can write something down.
Oh, yeah, lovely. All right, so I'll just go through the fee structure for yourself because it's pretty simple. So there's a one-off implementation fee that obviously is only one time only, and that comes out of your super. Now, for yourself, Anthony, that's $6,500. And So there's a one-off implementation fee that comes out of your super.
I thought I heard $6,000.
$6,500, but I'll give you an example in a second just to show you how that works. So it makes... Hopefully makes a little bit more clear. and an ongoing advisor fee of 1.65% per annum that comes out of your super as well. But again, under that best interest law, unless they put you in a significantly better position after all fees and insurances are factored in, so they take that out and then you still have to be in a significantly better position, they actually wouldn't be able to bring you on board as a client anyway. Does that make sense? Or even offer you advice, to be honest.
I've just never heard of anyone ever paying nearly $7,000 for advice on their super. So I'm starting to get into the scam realm now. I'm a bit concerned.
No, that's okay. I'll try and go through a couple of things so that you maybe get a bit more peace of mind. And if you don't, ask me some questions so that it can be clear for you. So like I mentioned before, the government would prefer you to use money now that you can't touch. So you can actually use your super to actually pay for a financial advisor through obviously the laws that they follow, that best interest duty, if it puts you in a significantly better position. So that would come out of your super, so you don't have to go and find $6,500, and it means
I'm still down nearly $7,000.
Yeah, so what they would look at...
It doesn't matter if I can access or not, I'm still technically down $7,000.
Yes, so what they would look at, and that's one of the things that... So through the results, Anthony, what they'll actually show you is exactly that. So they'll show you a breakdown that even after this is going to... Yeah. So for example, if I can give you a bit of an example here, and at the end of the day too, you've actually got to be happy with it, Anthony. It means if you think, yes, this advice is great, yes, let's do it, that's when the fee comes into action. If you don't, then there's no cost, all right?
I honestly don't know how anyone would be comfortable with spending, even if I got $2 million out of this, like $6,000 for super advice. I nearly fell over when you said that, sorry. That's unbelievable.
So if we had the results come back.
That's hectic.
Yeah, if we came back with the results and the fees had been factored in, Anthony, and let's say that you're going to be better off, like a client I've actually spoken to just recently, it would be on Monday, and they were better off by $285,000. So all the fees have been taken out, all the insurances have been taken out, and they were still going to be better off by $285,000. Would you feel that there was a good return? Yeah, potentially, and we can't promise people what they can do.
So there's no promises. Yeah. That's why it's really concerning, because everyone at my work that I've spoken to about getting their super refinanced or looked at or even, they never came close to $6,000. So I just, that's what's got me a bit bloody deer in the headlights.
So that's an implementation fee.
From this conference.